second. Those topics and much, much more coming up in episode number 39 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. I'll be right back. Be able to do more and more often from here on out, just to let you know. So I apologize for the delay, and I thank you for your patience. And there's a few things more important than Avalanche hockey. Not a ton, but there are a few. If you hear a little rattling in the background, it is windy here in the Mile High City today. It's Monday, January 19th, and I don't know. Not much I can do about rattling windows because it's so windy outside. And you might hear the official mascot of the Avs Hockey Podcast, Chipper Jones. My Greyhound, this is about the time when he's ready for his walk. So a few distractions, don't worry. Maybe to help you, move past hearing my voice the whole time. But anyways, this is episode number 39. Let's go over jersey number 39s for the Avalanche and their history. One of them is Jeff Paul. He played in two games for the Avalanche in the 02-03 season. He had no points and seven penalty minutes. Ville Niemenin, and I think that's who we're going to go with here. I'll talk to you why we're not going to go with Tyler Arneson here in a second. Niemenin was a third-round draft pick of the Avalanche in 1997. He played with the Avalanche for 104 games between 1999 and 2002. In the regular season, he had 104 games played, 24 goals, 22 assists. And during the 2000-2001 playoffs, which was a good year, he had 23 games played, 4 goals, 6 assists. And who has a bigger smile than any Avalanche player ever? Besides Ville Niemenin, no one celebrates like Ville Niemenin. Maybe Lappy, but he doesn't have as big a teeth. Ville Niemenin, episode number 39. He left the Avalanche March 19, 2002, when the Avs traded him and Rick Barry to the Penguins for Darius Kasparaitis. And Ville Niemenin was a good role player for the Avalanche. He's still playing professional hockey, although I don't think it's in the NHL. And we definitely miss his smile. I think any Avalanche fan that's been around for about a decade now will always remember him for that. So, another number 39, Tyler Arneson, was acquired July 1st, 2006 when he signed with the Avalanche as a free agent. Prior to this season, he had played 152 regular season games with the Avalanche. He had 26 goals and 54 assists in those 152 games. And during last year's playoffs, he played in 10 games, had 2 goals and 3 assists. Having a tough year for the Avalanche and definitely a scapegoat for not how badly the Avalanche have played, but how inconsistently the Avalanche have played. He's a guy that you want to count on maybe 15, 20 goals, and right now he has 3. Just ended a 33-goal game drought for his goalless streak was 33 games. And in the intro, I mentioned this was Tyler Arneson to a T. I mentioned this was kind of epitomizes his career with the Avalanche, and I lost a little more respect for Arneson last night when he was playing against the Flames. My wife and I went to that one. Jim Vandermeer, a defenseman, who's playing forward for the Flames, hacked on Peter Budaj. And this wasn't like I think I might get the puck here. I mean, he took a good swing at Peter Budaj, hit him right on the pad. You could hear it throughout the arena. Arneson just kind of stood there. Vandermeer, who, like I said, is a defenseman, put his hand up. He was expecting Arneson to do or say something, and nothing came out of that. And I was a little more disappointed than I usually am with Tyler Arneson. That's definitely saying something. Vandermeer, a defenseman, knows how to deal with situations like that. And you don't let people do that to your goaltender. Scott Hannon came up behind him and kind of pushed him out of the way after that. But Tyler Arneson, I don't know, man. He's had a rough year, like I said, of a scapegoat, and people say get rid of him. But I don't know if there's a whole lot of teams that are going to take him right now. He's always been fairly decent defensively, but definitely needs some more offensive production. I know he's out there working hard and trying, but it's just not working. So there you go. There's your three number 39s for episode number 39 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. And we're going to give this one to Ville Niemenin, one of the, not one of the most popular Avs ever, but it's definitely someone that a lot of people remember. So let's get into all the games. I know it's been a while. I apologize for that. I'll explain, I guess, a little bit later. Game one of episode number 39, Monday, December 29th, the Avalanche beat the Predators at Pepsi Center 5-1. The Avs started out the scoring 8:34 into the first period. Cody McLeod scored his sixth of the season for Marek Svatos and Adam Foote. Marek Svatos threw the puck at the net from the near corner and ended up getting by Pekka Rinne, and McLeod finishes for the 1-0 lead. It was pretty obvious early the Predators weren't playing well lately. They've been struggling kind of like the Avalanche had. And Cody McLeod acts like he's scoring pretty often. It was a no big deal reaction for him. No big smile, no huge fist pump, looking like a goal scorer. And after his sixth goal of the year, as of right now, he's got 10 on the year. So I'll be talking about him a little bit more in the future. Speaking of, the Avs take a 2-0 lead when Cody McLeod scores his second of the game and seventh of the year from Brett Clark and TJ Hanzik at 11:30. The shot from the point was deflected by Radek Bonk, as well as another Predators D-man, and it goes by Pekka Rinne, and the Avalanche defense staying aggressive on offense, and the Avalanche take a 2-0 lead. Budaj weather pretty strong during the first period, weathers the storm that the Predators had, and the Avalanche take a 2-0 lead into the second period. The Avalanche 4:42 into the second period, take a 3-0 lead when Chris Stewart scored his third from Jordan Leopold and Marek Svatos. Great puck movement leads to a strong scoring chance, and Stewart scores his third. And then a few minutes later, the Avalanche take a 4-0 lead when David Jones scores his sixth from Wojtek Volski and John Michael Lyles at 6:17. This was on an odd man rush, everyone going hard to the net. Shea Weber knocks away Jones' centering attempt and comes right back to Jones, who scores. And Pekka Rinne was playing the pass, can't blame him on that. And the Avalanche take a 4-0 lead. And at this point, the Avalanche had four goals and four different Avs defensemen with assists. So you always like them jumping up into the play. About 8 minutes in, Jordan Tutu, our best friend, goes for a big hit on Cody McLeod and ends up in the Avalanche bench. Fans, including myself, definitely enjoyed that. Not a whole lot of assistance from the Avalanche players getting Jordan Tutu back onto the ice, as you might imagine. Tutu then takes a run at Soleil, and then when he's challenged by Darcy Tucker, he flops and won't go, just like we're used to with Avalanche fans. And that's basically how Jordan Tutu plays. He gets other teams off their game, but doesn't gain the respect of his opponents while doing it, and that's always too bad. I guess it worked. The Avalanche, the Predators get a power play. The Avalanche take a penalty, and Jason Arnott scores his first 14th of the season on the power play from Shea Weber and Ryan Sutter at 9:17. This was off Adam Foote's stick and over Peter Budaj's left shoulder. And the Avalanche outshot in the period 15-6 by the Predators, but they take a 4-1 lead into the third period. The Avalanche take a 5-1 lead. John Michael Lyles early in the third scores his fifth of the year from Ryan Smith and Wojtek Volski at 48 seconds, 2-on-0 during a 4-on-4. A beautiful play after Wojtek Volski steals the puck near the Avalanche blue line. The Avalanche get their third straight home win with a 5-1 win. Peter Budaj, 25 saves on 26 shots. Pekka Rinne, 16 saves on 21 shots. Kind of guy had a lot of confidence when the Avalanche played him last, but it's definitely gone south, at least for now. On the power play, the Avalanche were 0-for-3, and the Predators were 1-for-4. Really no notables for the Preds. Your notables for the Avalanche: John Michael Lyles, a goal assist and a +3 rating. Wojtek Volski, 2 assists. Tyler Arneson, 5 shots. Brett Clark, an assist. He was a +3, had 4 hits and 3 block shots. TJ Hensick, an assist and was +3 on the night as well. Marek Svatos, 2 assists. Cody McLeod, 2 goals, 3 shots, and 4 hits. The Avalanche finished 3-0 on this particular homestand, and this was John Michael Lyles' third straight game with a multi-point streak. He tied a club record with that. Didn't have any points the next game, which I'll get to in a second here. But the first game I'll cover, my second game that I'll cover in the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for everything Avalanche, episode number 39, game number 2, Wednesday, December 31st, New Year's Eve. The Avalanche lose at the Phoenix Coyotes at the Jobbing.com Arena, 3-1. The Avalanche started the scoring. TJ Hensick scored his second of the year from David Jones and Brett Clark at 8:12. Quick shot from the point by Brett Clark. Hensick gets the rebound and scores. Budaj strong early, has 11 saves, and Clark with some help when Budaj needed it with some great stops as well. In the second period, Peter Mueller took over. He tied it up at 1 when he scored his seventh from David Hale and Shane Doan at 10:36. There was a scramble near the net, and Budaj was plenty out of position and without a stick as well. A great shot by Mueller, even though Budaj didn't have a stick. And you won't see Budaj's technique on any instructional videos anytime soon on this goal. That was definitely ugly. 2 minutes and 5 seconds later, Peter Mueller scored his second of the period, his eighth of the year, from Shane Doan and Steven Ryan, back to 12:41. Doan and Mueller break into the Avs zone. Shane Doan takes a puck behind the net and feeds Mueller in the near slot. Budaj screened by Hannon, never saw the shot until it was way too late. And the Coyotes take a 2-1 lead into the third period. Also, Peter Budaj robbed Peter Mueller late in the second period for his chance at a hat trick. So a couple good saves, and Peter Budaj definitely kept this game close. 13-19 into the third period, Phoenix Coyotes take a 3-1 lead when Olli Jokinen scored his 12th from Enver Leesen and Michael Tellqvist. Enver Leesen beats Lyles to the puck in the corner. Leesen centers puck to Jokinen, who beats Peter Budaj. And that finishes up your scoring. The Avs lose this one 3-1. Michael Tellqvist, 28 saves on 29 shots and an assist. Peter Budaj, 26 saves on 29 shots. Both teams, actually the Avalanche, 0-for-3 in the power play. The Coyotes were 0-for-2. TJ Hensick, a goal and 3 shots. Chris Stewart, an assist, 5 shots and 4 hits. Shane Doan, 2 assists and 5 shots for the Coyotes. Peter Mueller, 2 goals and 4 shots. And Zibanek McCulloch, 6 block shots for the Coyotes. And for whatever reason, the Avalanche have a really hard time playing in Phoenix, and I don't know what it is, but it's been like that for a few years. So whatever, we'll just move on from there. Wednesday, December 3rd, the Avalanche lose at the Jobber.com Arena against the Coyotes. Blue Jackets 6-1 at home. Chris Stewart and Jarrett Bull have a fight early, kind of a draw. Chris Stewart, though, you got to respect his toughness. He's a big kid. He's strong. Peter McNabb says it a lot. He's tough, and you don't want to mess with him, and I agree. I really like what Chris Stewart has brought to the table, and I don't think he's going back to Lake Erie anytime soon. The Avalanche actually take a 1-0 lead. Darcy Tucker, his 5th goal of the season from Ian LaPerriere, and Jordan Leopold at 17-20. A great pass across the slot to Tucker from Lappy, who one time the forehand along the ice. This was the first goal given up by Blue Jackets goaltender Steve Mason in 199 minutes and 19 seconds. It was a beautiful play, and the Avalanche are looking pretty decent early and looking like things are going to go well. And then in the second period, it was, it was pretty much over. Christian Eusalius scored his 11th from Rick Nash and Mike Commodore at 2:28. Good puck movement in the Avalanche zone by the Blue Jackets. Rick Nash feeds Eusalius in the slot from behind the net and beats Peter Budaj to tie the game up. Peter Budaj in between this goal and the next goal by the Blue Jackets with a beautiful glove save on Rusty Klesla during the power play, 7:20 into the second. It looked even better on the replay. So Peter Budaj keeps it close, but not too long after that, that's kind of when things started going south. Rick Nash then scored his 17th of the year on a penalty shot at 12:33. There was some controversy for the delayed call on the penalty shot. It was a penalty on Brett Clark. Nash got a shot away, which usually changes the penalty shot to just a penalty. But whatever, it doesn't matter now. Nash scored on Budaj blocker side with the wrister. This is the first penalty shot goal of his career. He was over 5, so he's now 1-for-6, which is pretty amazing considering how talented Rick Nash is. Then the Blue Jackets took a 3-1 lead when Christian Eusalius scored his second of the period, his 12th of the year, from Rick Nash and Manny Malhotra at 16:10. Malhotra streaked in along the near boards, passed to Nash in the slot. Nash made a beautiful pass to Eusalius at the far post, and the Columbus color guy says, tic-tac-toe, 3 in a row, Jackets up 3-1. Whatever, that's stupid. And shots in the period, the Blue Jackets had 16, the Avalanche only had 5, so not a very good effort for the Avalanche in the second period. And if you thought that was bad, you didn't see the third period. Mike Commodore scored his second of the season from Rick Nash and Manny Malhotra. At 5:56, this was a one-timer off the setup from Nash. And I wanted to leave. Me and my wife really wanted to leave. There's really no reason to stay, 3-goal lead in the third period. But we were eating delicious nachos. That was the only thing that kept us at the game. We found a great nacho place. We usually don't eat at the arena. We usually eat on the way or at home. But decided to grab some nachos there. Man, they were sweet. So at least we got to see a couple more goals. Jakub Voracek scored his 5th of the year for the Blue Jackets from Frederick Modin at 6:56 on a breakaway. Scored on Budaj with the forehand along the ice, and the Blue Jackets take a 5-1 lead. And then the Avalanche give up another goal. The Blue Jackets go up 6-1 with R.J. Umberger's power play goal, his 11th of the season, from Mike Pekka and Rostislav Klesla at 11:14. And the Blue Jackets crush the Avalanche at home 6-1. Steve Mason, 23 saves on 24 shots. Good young goaltender for the Blue Jackets. He won't be able to keep this pace up forever, but hopefully this is a guy that they can depend on for a few years, and, a lot of years. Looks like he has that potential. And Peter Budaj, 24 saves on 30 shots. The Blue Jackets, 1-for-4 on the power play. The Avalanche just couldn't really get it going, 0-for-6 on the power play. Chris Stewart and Ryan Smith both had 4 shots. Yeah, these are your notables for the Avalanche. 4 shots for Chris Stewart and Ryan Smith, and Adam Foote, Milan Hayduk, and Scott Hannon, all -3. There's your notables for the Avalanche. Let me take a deep breath here and give you the notables for the Blue Jackets. R.J. Umberger, a goal and 3 shots. Christian Eusalius, 2 goals and 4 shots. Mike Commodore, a goal and assist. He was a +4 and had 4 block shots. Jan Hayda was also a +4. Manny Malhotra had 2 assists. Rick Nash had a goal, 3 assists, and 4 shots. He tied his career high in points for a game. Congratulations, I guess. Fedor Tuten had 5 shots on net, and Jakub Voracek had a goal and 4 shots on net. So definitely a forgettable night for the Avalanche at home. The fans were not very happy, and that's how the season's gone so far. So Friday, January 2nd, the Avalanche lose to the Columbus Blue Jackets at home. Your home for everything Avalanche was Sunday, January 4th, and the Avalanche lose against the Wild at home at Pepsi Center 2-0. It was Olin Nolan's night in the first period. He scored his 8th of the season on the power play from Brent Burns and Pierre-Marc Bouchard at 7:23. A beautiful tip in from the point off of Brent Burns' shots, and Peter Budaj had no shot at this one. And 3:19 later, the Wild take a 2-0 lead on Olin Nolan's 2nd of the period, his 9th of the year, from Christopher Kalanos and Brent Burns at 10:42. Kalanos tried the wraparound. Puck ends up right on Olin Nolan's stick, and there you go. That was the end of the scoring. Wojtek Volski had a breakaway in the second period. Not quite sure where the call, if any, was on that, but it doesn't matter. You can't show up for as little of the game as the Avalanche did and do anything. The Wild had 15 shots in the second period. The Avalanche had 12. In the third period, not much going on except for Darcy Tucker holding a stick penalty at 18:20. Good call on that one, but then Cal Clutterbuck says something to Darcy Tucker on his way to the box, and as my good friend Shane Giroux says in his blog, Tucker classes it up and gets a misconduct. He was frustrated, as were the Avalanche fans. Ryan Smith with 3 wraparound tries in this game. Keep track of those wraparounds. Ryan Smith has been playing super well, That's hard-hitting commentary there, but he's been playing really well lately. 3 wraparound tries for this one, so... Here's your notables and all the other stuff. Nicholas Backstrom, 33 saves for his 13th career shutout. Peter Budaj, 35 saves on 37 shots. He had a pretty strong game. The Wild were 1-for-6 on the power play. The Avalanche were 0-for-3, which made them 0-for-15 over the past 4 games at this point. Brent Burns, 2 assists and 3 shots. Owen Nolan, 2 goals and 7 shots, looking like a youngster again. Christopher Kalanos had an assist and 4 shots. Nick Schultz had 5 block shots. For the Avalanche, TJ Hensick and Wojtek Volski had 3 shots. Ryan Smith had 4 shots. Tyler Ennison had 5 shots on net. Darcy Tucker was a -1 with 14 penalty minutes. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Brett Clark had 5 block shots. Chris Stewart, 3 shots and 5 hits. Besides the first period, it was a pretty good hockey game overall. I don't know what was said in the room between the second and third periods, but the Avs looked good in the third and came out with a little hop. Just couldn't get the puck past Nicholas Backstrom, which is the problem for many teams. The Avalanche had 33 shots, and this seems to be the ongoing theme with the Wild. They give up some shots, but very few quality scoring chances, which is probably how Jacques Lemaire likes it. 33 shots and very few quality scoring chances for the Avalanche in this game. So without a whole bunch more to talk about during this game, Sunday, January 4th, the Avalanche lose against the Wild. The fifth game I'll cover in episode number 39 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Your home for everything Avalanche was Tuesday, January 6th. The Avalanche beat the Nashville Predators at the Summit Center 2-1. The Avalanche spent the first 50 seconds in their own zone, which wasn't a very good start, and I thought it was going to be a long night until Ryan Jones. Actually, sorry, that was the wrong Ryan. Anyways, the Predators take a 1-0 lead when Ryan Jones scores his 4th of the year from J.P. Dumont and Ryan Sutter at 7:29. The Predators score on the 7th shot of the game, while the Avalanche hadn't gotten any shots so far. Jones going strong to the net, gets a rebound off J.P. Dumont's shot and a Rycroft save. T.J. Hensick with a really weak back check, and the Avalanche go down 1-0. But have no fear, Wojtek Volski scores his 8th of the season at 14:25 from Milan Hajduk and Ryan Smith. This was the first goal since the first period goal 2 games ago against the Columbus Blue Jackets, a string of 118 minutes and 5 seconds, so... If you were feeling like the Avalanche hadn't scored in a while during this game, you were totally right. Wojtek Volski beats Pekarinen over his glove hand. Block shots in the first. The Avalanche had 12 and the Predators had 2, and I wouldn't say that's necessarily a good thing. The Avalanche lucky to go into the room with a 1-1 tie going into the second period. In the second period, I just wrote down that it's very evident that Peter McNabb and Mike Haynes both have huge crushes on Shea Weber. Every shot, every move this guy makes is... I mean, believe me, he's good, and everybody knows that, and we're all very excited about Shea Weber, and we're all very happy he's a hockey player, and he's good at what he does, but geez, they're going crazy. So I don't know. And I also need to find out what that stupid train whistle sound is during the game in Nashville. I got a little background on it, but if that thing is team issued, we're going to have some issues. Anyway, I'm just glad the Avalanche don't play in the same division as the Predators. The Avalanche then take a 2-1 lead when Wojciech Volski scores his second of the game, his ninth of the year, from Milan Hejduk and Ruslan Soleil at 15:46. Hejduk with another beautiful pass to Volski in the slot. Originally looked like it was going to be on his forehand, but it ended up being on the backhand after being tipped by a Predator defenseman, and Wojciech Volski beats Pekka Rinne high, and the Avalanche take a 2-1 lead. A couple minutes later, Wojciech Volski with the sweet spin move in the slot and almost had the hat trick, but the backhand went wide. Man, that was awesome. Love to see that out of Wojciech Volski. In the third period, Jason Arnott had a holding penalty late at the Avalanche, and the Avalanche hang on, which is great. And here you go, Andrew Raycroft. I knew I'd do that. I knew it. So if you hear me call him Raycroft, you know I'm talking about Mark Raycroft, but this Raycroft, one letter difference. If you're looking for perfection, forget it from this show. I also want to thank, while I'm thinking of perfection, Chris Joy for telling me the Dan High Note in the last edition of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for everything, Avalanche. I said that Dan High Note was number 58 for the Blues. He has gone back to number 13. I noticed that in a game I was watching the other night as well. So, Chris Joy, thank you very much for the heads up. And like I said, if you're looking for perfection out of this show, forget it. You need to go to another podcast. Anyways, Andrew Raycroft with 22 saves on 23 shots and Pekka Rinne, 19 saves on 21 shots. Both teams, no power play goals. The Avalanche 0 for 2. The Predators 0 for 3. Your notable, Scott Hannon, 6 blocks. Wojciech Volski, 2 goals and 6 shots. Milan Hejduk, 2 assists. And Ryan Smith, an assist and 4 shots. And then for the Predators, Antti Pilström had 5 hits and 4 shots. And Shea Weber with 4 shots. I just smile when I say Shea Weber because, man, every shot and every move he makes, they just go crazy on him. But random thoughts after this game. The Avalanche's top line plays well. The team has a chance. A strong game by Milan Hejduk, Wojciech Volski, and Ryan Smith. Their line looking good. Wojciech Volski, this was his second or third game as a center. Bold move by Tony Granato and very cool. I hope this lasts long term. And Wojciech Volski looking great. Aaron Lopez in the Rocky Mountain News on January 7th of 2009 started out his article with, thanks to Joe Sakic's inability to safely operate a snowblower and Paul Stastny's untimely collision with a frozen puck, the Avalanche might have found its next great center. Aaron Lopez, good stuff, man. I don't mean to be skeptical, but I always want guys to play a little bit better for extended amounts of time before we start gushing on them. But Wojciech Volski's looking way better than he did on the wing earlier in the season and the last few seasons. Definitely leave him at center. Let's see what happens. I wonder what Peter McNabb and Mike Haynes' conversations are during commercials when the Avalanche play like they did early. They've just got to be going nuts in a sense. Also, Peter Ruttgazer, who is one of the studio guys for Altitude Sports and Entertainment, who is the feed here in Denver, he pronounced the Summit Center as Somay or whatever. Wow, dude, it's Nashville. You're not going to get any silent T's. But anyways, players wearing the alternate A's for the Avalanche this game with Lappi, Foote, Stastny, and Sakic out because the Avalanche choose not to go with a captain when Joe Sakic is out. To this game, it was Scott Hannon, Ryan Smith, and Milan Hejduk. We've seen Brett Clark wear it lately. I think that's about it. But they're rotating through all those guys, and it's kind of fun to see who's going to wear it game in and game out. But Foote should be back soon. Maybe that'll help. That'll help solve some of the A issue, and it'll also help the team in general. So, anyways, that's enough on this game. Tuesday, January 6th, the Avalanche beat the Predators at Summit Center, 2-1. Thursday, January 8th, against the Chicago Blackhawks, the Avalanche beat the Blackhawks at Pepsi Center in this one, 2-1. Not a ton to talk about, just a bunch of good goaltending and not a whole lot of power plays and a pretty well-played game. The Avalanche took a 1-0 lead. Ryan Smith scored his 13th of the year from Wojciech Volski at 5:10 of the first period. There was no distinct kicking motion after the puck goes off the inside of his right skate. Call could have gone either way. I guess I would have understood if they would have called this back, but it was all good, and the Avalanche take a 1-0 lead. In the second period, a 5:16 in the second period, Brian Campbell scored on the power play for the Blackhawks, his 7th of the year from Patrick Kane, and they tie it up at 1. Slapshot from the far point beats Andrew Raycroft high, and Raycroft also with some great saves during this period to keep the game tied. In the third period, the Avalanche take the lead for good. Wojciech Volski scores his 10th on the power play from Milan Hejduk and Ryan Smith at 13:01. He got the rebound after Ryan Smith drove hard to the net, and the Avalanche take a 2-1 lead. Andrew Raycroft stays solid. He's starting to grow on me a little bit, which is good. And Peter Budaj, I guess lately, he's kind of on. He's either really on or pretty much off, but I guess having two decent goaltenders is better than having zero. Shots in the third period, the Avalanche had 12 and the Blackhawks had 19. The Avs hang on for the 2-1 lead. 2-1 win, sorry. Nikolai Hobby-Bulin for the Blackhawks, 30 saves on 32 shots. And Andrew Raycroft sets a career high with 43 saves on 44 shots. The Avalanche were 1-for-3 on the power play. The Blackhawks scored on their only opportunity. They were 1-for-1. Here's your notables for the Blackhawks. Patrick Sharp, four shots. Andrew Ladd, 7 shots. Martin Havlat also with 4 shots. And also James Wisniewski with 4 shots. Patrick Kane with 5 shots. And Brent Seabrook had 5 hits for the Blackhawks. For your Avalanche, John Michael Lyles, 6 shots. Wojciech Wolski, a goal assist and 5 shots. Milan Hayduk, an assist and 3 shots. And Ryan Smith, a goal, an assist, and 7 shots. So on Thursday, January 8th, the Avalanche beat the hot Blackhawks at Pepsi Center 2-1. At Pepsi Center 5-3. Ryan Smith starts off the score in his 14th from Wojciech Wolski and Milan Hayduk at 10:44. Deflection off of Volsky's snapshot. Great tip by him. That's how Ryan Smith rolls. And the Avalanche take a 1-0 lead. About 5 minutes later, the Pens tie it up. Evgeny Malkin scores his 16th of the year on the power play from Sidney Crosby and Brooks Orpik at 15:41. This is a one-timer off Sidney Crosby's great pass through the defensive zone and through the slot, and ties it up at 1. Shots in the first period, the Avalanche had 15, the Penguins had 8. We go to the second period, tied at 1. In the second period, David Jones scored his 7th of the season from John Michael Lyles and Cody McLeod at 2:06 to give the Avalanche a 2-1 lead. Jones with a great play in the near corner to knock down Danny Sabourin's clearing attempt. He passes to Cody McLeod in front, who gathers rebound and scores, so, like I said, to give the Avalanche a 2-1 lead. And then the Penguins came back again. Sidney Crosby scored his 17th from Evgeny Malkin and Brooks Orpik at 8:44. This beat Andrew Raycroft with the wrister after Malkin's great pass. And this is just Sidney Crosby being Sidney Crosby. That's how he does. And the game's tied up at 2. Less than 2 minutes later, Wojciech Wolski scores his 11th from Ryan Smith at 10:33. This was Volsky's third straight game with a goal, which is always good to see. A beautiful goal with a sweet pass. Sweet behind-the-back pass by Ryan Smith and a few great moves by Wojciech Wolski, and the Avalanche go up for good. The Avalanche, before the end of the period, take a 4-2 lead when Cody McLeod scores his 8th of the season from Jordan Leopold and David Jones at 14:39. This was a tip-in off of the Leopold shot from the far point. The Avs should do more of this. And, boy, isn't that great coaching? Hard-hitting commentary. You'll only get here on the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for everything Avalanche. They go to the net and tip the puck in, and the Avs should do more of that. Wow, man, am I an expert or what? In the third period, Jordan Staal scores his 13th shorthanded, unassisted at 7:37 to get the Penguins back within 1. This was a wrister that beat Andrew Raycroft glove side. And 49 seconds later, the Avs put it on ice. Great pun. Yes, the Avalanche take a 5-3 lead. David Jones is second of the game, and his first career multi-goal game is 8th of the season on the power play from Tyler Arneson and Marek Svatos at 8:28. Svatos with the initial shot. Tyler Arneson had a shot at the rebound and missed, and Jones was there for the third chance, which should be plenty. Marc-Andre Fleury for the Penguins, 6-for-7 on saves. Never could quite figure out why he left the game, but anyways, Danny Sabourin came in, saved 21 of the 25 shots he saw. Andrew Raycroft, 21 saves on 24 shots, and both teams were 1-for-1 on the power play. Here's your notables for the Penguins. Jordan Staal, a goal and 3 shots. Brooks Orpik, 2 assists. Evgeny Malkin, a goal, assist, and 4 shots. Sidney Crosby, goal and assist. And Rob Scuderi had 5 block shots for the Penguins. For your Avalanche, John Michael Lyles, an assist and 4 shots. Wojciech Wolski, a goal, assist, and 6 shots. Marek Svatos with an assist and 4 shots. David Jones, 2 goals, an assist, and 4 shots. Cody McLeod, a goal, assist, and 3 shots. And Ryan Smith, a goal and assist. So every fan leaves this game happy. Strong games by Malkin and Crosby, which they're used to, and the Avs win. And got some experience with the Penguins feed on the YouTube highlights that I was just double-checking everything on, and their announcers whine about non-calls a lot, just to let you know. But it kind of gets annoying when they focus so much on the officiating. I realize that there's good calls and bad calls, but they all can't be good, that's for sure. Andrew Raycroft wins his seventh straight decision for the Avalanche. That's why he's kind of grown on all of us Avs fans, and that's about it. So the Avalanche beat the struggling Pittsburgh Penguins on Saturday, January 10th at Memphis Center. Hockey Podcast, episode number 39, the Ville Niemann edition of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Your home for everything Avalanche was Tuesday, January 13th at Nationwide Arena. The Avalanche lose to the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-3. Marek Svato starts off the scoring late in the first period, 17-15 into the period, his seventh of the year from Chris Stewart and TJ Hensek. This is a rebound off of Chris Stewart's shot that sat at Steve Mason's feet, and Svato picks up the garbage and gives the Avalanche a 1-0 lead. Andrew Raycroft, 11 saves in the first period to keep it scoreless. And late in the second period, that was about it. Jakub Voracek, I might have called him something different earlier, can't remember, scored his sixth of the year for RJ Umberger and Christian Eusélius at 18-11. And we go into the third period tied at 1. That's right, before I said the game was 4-3, this is when all heck broke loose. It was all crazy. David Jones actually left the game between periods with a bad back, and we haven't seen him since. And then the Blue Jackets took a 2-1 lead on RJ Umberger's 13th goal of the year on the power play from Chris Russell and Christian Eusélius at 6:46. This was good work by Eusélius along the near boards to get Russell the puck in the near slot. Russell makes the pass to Umberger, who's all alone on the far post, and a beautiful play by the Blue Jackets to give them a 2-1 lead. And then 10 seconds later, no fear, Chris Stewart came and... I'm going to stop saying that. 10 seconds later, Chris Stewart scores his fourth of the season from Tyler Arneson and Brett Clark at 6:36. Wow, those numbers. We're going to put the Umberger again. You know, if you want something perfect, forget it. We're going to change the Umberger to 6:36, and we'll put the Chris Stewart goal at 6:46. How's that for you? Anyways, 2-2. Christian Eusélius then came back a few minutes later, scored his 13th of the year for Manny Malhotra and Jared Bull at 8:41. The Avalanche and Andrew Raycroft wanted goalie interference on this. It was really minor if there was any, and Andrew Raycroft gets beat 5-hole. The Blue Jackets take a 30 seconds later, the Blue Jackets take a 4-2 lead when Mike Pekka scores his fourth of the year from Frederick Modine and Craig McDonald at 9:11. Milan Hayduk mishandled the puck in the far corner, and everything goes downhill from there. Blue Jackets up 4-2. And then Ryan Smith scored his 15th of the year on the power play, his seventh power play goal of the year, and his 299th career goal from Brett Clark at 10:27. This was 4 seconds into the power play when Smith backhanded the rebound off of a Brett Clark shot from the point past Steve Mason. Chris Mason plays for another team. Oh, boy, I'm struggling. But the Avalanche get within one. That's as close as they could get, though. The Avalanche were outplayed in the third period, and that's what happened. Steve Mason, 23 saves on 26 shots. Andrew Raycroft, 23 saves on 27 shots. Both teams 1-for-4 on the power play. Notables for the Avalanche, Brett Clark, 2 assists and 4 shots. Chris Stewart, a goal and assist. Cody McLeod, 5 hits. And for the Blue Jackets, Chris Russell, an assist and 4 shots. RJ Umberger had a goal and assist. Christian Eusélius, a goal and 2 assists. Manny Malhotra, an assist and 5 shots. And Jakub Voracek, a goal and 4 shots on net. So the Avalanche are 0-for-3 against the Blue Jackets this season. No longer easy wins against them. That's what solid goaltending will get you. So, on Tuesday, January 13th, the Avalanche lose at Columbus and Nationwide Arena against the Blue Jackets. Center. The Avalanche lose to the St. Louis Blues 5-2. Right as the puck drops, Cody McLeod and Brad Winchester got into a fight. This was a draw, but a great battle. And also 2 minutes into the game, TJ Hensick hits Marek Svatos on a 2-on-1 in the slot, and he's absolutely robbed with the glove by Manny Legacy, which is what Avalanche fans are used to seeing when Manny Legacy is in net for the Blues. The Blues then took a 1-0 lead on Patrick Berglund's 14th of the season from David Perron and TJ Oshie at 4:48. This Pete Peter Budaj, he beat Peter Budaj with a wrister, and the Blues scoring the second shot of the game, which is always tough to see. On to the second period, 9:36 into the second period, Cam Jansen scored his first of the season from Trent Whitfield and our old buddy Dan Hynote. The Avalanche were beaten for the puck in the corner. The Blues throw it on net. Peter Budaj unable to control the rebound, and Jansen finishes, and the Blues take a 2-0 lead. 11 minutes into the second period, Chris Stewart and Tyson Strachan got into a fight, and Chris Stewart pretty much smashes Strachan's face in. This kid knows, well, as Shane Giroux said in his blog, Tyson Strachan knows how to fight. And Stewie's toughness, his speed, his scoring touch is never hurts anybody except the guys that he fights. And it's also great to see him. I don't think he's going anywhere, like I said earlier in the show. Mike Haynes, late in the second period, said the Blues are getting to a lot of loose pucks tonight. And basically the Avs are getting outworked on the road again. The first line was no-show for the most part. I guess you have to give some credit to the Blues defense, but tough night for the Avalanche's first line. So if they don't play well, it makes it kind of tough for the rest of the team. In the third period, the Blues take a 3-0 lead when Brad Boyce scores his 20th of the year, his 12th power play goal of the year, from Carlo Koliakovo and David Perron at 1 minute. Peter Budaj was screened in front by David Backes and really didn't see this shot at all. Interesting that the leading scorer for the Blues has 12 power play goals, and Ryan Smith is the leading scorer all around overall for the Avalanche, and he only has 16 goals. So kind of a story of the season there. Cody McLeod then scored his 9th of the season from Tyler Arneson and Brian Wilsey at 2:18. A great pass by Tyler Arneson across the slot. McLeod tipped it by Manny Legacy with the backhand to get the Avalanche within 2 goals. And then at 8:54 of the third period, Milan Hayduk scores his 14th of the season, his first in 10 games, and his 299th career goal to get the Avalanche within 1. The first line finally gets some space in the Blues zone, and Ryan Smith tries to wrap around. Imagine that. Milan Hayduk picks up the rebound and roofs it over Manny Legacy to get the Avalanche within 1. The Avalanche had a power play not long after that second goal that they had, and the Blues killed it. And then the Avalanche took a penalty just after that, and the Blues scored. They go up 4-2. TJ Oshie scores his 5th of the season on the power play from Brad Winchester at 14:52. This was a rebound off of Brad Winchester's shot that hit an Avs defenseman in front, and Peter Budaj gets beat 5-hole, and that gives them a 4-2 lead. The Blues took another penalty with about 4 minutes left, and the Avalanche couldn't take advantage, and special teams seemed to be the difference so far in the game, which is in most NHL games. Peter Budaj was pulled with about 3 minutes left to give the Avalanche a 2-man advantage on that particular power play, and that didn't work out so well because the Blues took a 5-2 lead when David Backes scored his 14th of the year shorthanded into that empty net from TJ Oshie at 17:55, and the Blues take a 5-2 lead. The Avalanche at this point of the season were outscored 47-31 overall in the third period, and that tells the story of the season for the Avalanche. Peter Budaj, 21 saves on 25 shots. Manny Legacy, 24 saves on 26 shots. The Avalanche, 0-4 on the power play. The Blues, 2-3 on the power play with a shorthanded goal. And it's pretty evident that if your special teams aren't special, it's hard to have a decent or really successful season. And that's how it goes. Ruslan Soley, 4 shots. Milan Hayduk, a goal and 4 shots. Cody McLeod, 5 hits. David Backes, a goal and 4 shots for the Blues. David Perron, 2 assists. And TJ Oshie, a goal and 2 assists. That's a cool hockey name there, TJ Oshie. I like it. A Granato on Peter Budaj. I don't think it was one of his better games. Hard-hitting commentary from our Avs leader. I don't know. That's how it goes with hockey quotes sometimes. 21 saves on 25 shots isn't going to get it done really any night. So definitely wasn't one of his better games. But anyways, let's move on. Thursday, January 15th, the Avalanche lose to the Blues at the Scott Trade Center. Of the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for everything Avalanche. Hang on, we're almost there. Friday, January 16th, the Avalanche lost to the Edmonton Oilers 3-2 at home. Edmonton started off the scoring 2-10 into the first period. Steve Staio scores his 2nd from Eric Cole and Sam Gagner. A slap shot through a ton of traffic in front of Andrew Raycroft, and the Oilers take a 1-0 lead. At 6:44, rarity, Mark Pouliot and John Michael Lyles get into a fight. This was a draw, and this was Lyles' first fighting major in his career, and I bet you it'll be his last. He didn't get beat up or anything, but that's definitely not his style. He's not big enough to be doing that stuff, but I don't know. I guess he got upset enough, and that's what happened. 16:22 into the first period, Tyler Arneson scored his 3rd of the season from John Michael Lyles and Cody McLeod to get the game tied at 1 again. Not again, but tie the game at 1. Tyler Arneson scores his first goal in 33 games off his leg or his stick to beat Matthew Garand. I don't know which one it was. Doesn't matter. The Avalanche tied up. And then just before the end of the first period, 3:01 after the Tyler Arneson goal, Tom Gilbert scores his 3rd on the power play from Sheldon Surrey and Mark Pouliot at 19:23. This is a great patience off rebound from Surrey, shot from the point. Beat a sprawling Raycroft as well as Scott Hannon, who was on one knee trying to protect the net. And Gilbert, really, he actually shot it off Scott Hannon's shoulder and beat everybody high. And the Avalanche go into the second period down 2-1. Shots in the first period, the Avalanche had 10 and the Oilers had 19 shots. In the second period, the Avalanche tied up. TJ Hanzik scores his third from Chris Stewart and Marek Svatos. A nice wrister that beat Matthew Garon short side at 12-28, and the Avalanche tied up. Shots in this period, the Avalanche had 14, and the Edmonton Oilers only had 7. So, good all-around period by the Avalanche there. And then in the third period, things fell apart on one play. Sean Horkoff scored his 11th from Denis Grabeshkov at Kyle Brodziak at 13-25. Andrew Raycroft creates what I like to call madness in the Avalanche zone by scuffing his clearing attempt. The Oilers controlled it from there. The puck eventually found its way to Sean Horkoff, who scores and gives the Edmonton Oilers a 3-2 win. Shots in the third period, the Avalanche had 15, the Oilers had 11. Matthew Garon had 37 saves on 39 shots, including saving all 10 shots the Avalanche had on the power play. And Andrew Raycroft had 34 saves on 37 shots. Edmonton Oilers 1-for-4 on the power play. The Avalanche were 0-for-3. Edmonton Oilers notable, Sean Horkoff, a goal and 7 shots. Eric Cole and Sheldon Surrey, an assist and 5 shots apiece. Mark Pouliot had an assist and 3 shots, and Sam Gagne had an assist and 4 shots. And for the Avalanche, an assist, John Michael Lyles, an assist and 6 shots. Milan Hayduk, 5 shots. TJ Hensick, a goal and 3 shots. Marek Svatos, an assist and 5 shots. And Ryan Smith with 6 shots on the night. So this was a tough one. Andrew Raycroft, I don't know, he was feeling bad about this one, I'm sure. He just didn't make a very good play. And when you're in the NHL and you scuff a puck and a puck that's supposed to get out of the zone, more likely than not, it's going to end up in your own net. So hopefully this isn't one of those games that the Avalanche look back on late in the year and say, boy, we could have used an extra point or two because this would be the one. But anyways, let's move on. Friday, January 16th, the Avalanche lose against the Oilers at 3-7. Sunday, January 18th, against the Calgary Flames at Pepsi Center, the Avalanche win this one 6-2. In the pregame, here's the stat of the year, I guess, so far. The Avalanche have had 4 stretches during the season that have included 3 or more wins or 3 or more losses in a row. So there you go. As we like to say on the, well, as Lord Stanley said on the AvalancheTalk.com forum, come join us if you want to talk Avs hockey. He said our team's bipolar. I agree. In the first period, Peter Budaj is strong early, and he weathers the Flames storm early with a lot of energy that the Flames brought, and the Avalanche power play looking good as well. They had 4 shots in the first power play. Hope that keeps up for a while. Now, the Avalanche take a 1-0 lead, 16-33 into the first period, when Marek Svato scores his 8th of the year on the power play from Ryan Smith and Wojtek Wolski. After another great power play flurry by the Avalanche, Svatos picks up one of the many rebounds that were available, and once again, I would love to see the power play be this aggressive all the time. 8 shots during their first 2 power plays, including a goal. So the Avalanche take a 1-0 lead. Less than 2 minutes later, minute 55 later to be exact, the Avalanche take a 2-0 lead when Chris Stewart scores his 5th of the season from Ruslan Soleil and TJ Hensick at 18-28. Ruslan Soleil got the puck out of the zone, passed Jerome McGinley off the near side glass. Chris Stewart picked up the puck, beat the Flames defenseman to the net, and scores off of Curtis McElhaney's right pad. And the Avalanche have a 2-0 lead going into the second period. Shots in the first period, the Avalanche had 20 shots. The Flames had 8. A great period against a team that had played the Flames, the team that had played last night and traveled last night as well, and actually lost to the Coyotes the night before. So good work by them. In the second period, the Avalanche had an early minute 35 5-on-3 that they couldn't convert on. And the Flames also got a minute 44 5-on-3 later in the period, which led to Mike Camilleri's 20th goal of the season on the power play from Jerome McGinley and Dion Phaneuf at 10-22. The Flames during this 5-on-3 tried about 25 or 26 backdoor passes. Great pass by Jerome McGinley from the point, and Camilleri beats Budaj to get within a goal. And pretty soon Jerome McGinley will take over the franchise scoring lead all time, which is pretty scary considering how young that guy is, but he's a flat player. Anyways, the Avalanche, less than a minute and a half later, well, a little more than a minute and a half later, take a 3-1 lead when Ryan Smith scores his 16th of the year on the shorthanded from Jordan Leopold at 13 minutes. This kind of made up for not getting the goal on the 5-on-3 earlier in the period. It was a block shot. Jordan Leopold blocks the shot in front and started a 2-on-1. with Ben Gietze the other way, and Smith beat Curtis McElhaney with the wrister under his left arm for his 300th NHL goal. I'll get into more particulars here in a little bit. And then less than 4 minutes later, some more history made. The Avalanche take a 4-1 lead when Milan Hejduk scores his 15th of the season on the power play from John Michael Lowles and Brett Clark at 17:44. And history's made. Back-to-back 300th career NHL goals. The power play was after Chris Durno. I'll talk about him in a minute, too. He drew a cross-checking penalty on Adrian Acoin, and Hejduk beats Curtis McElhaney with the wrister coming off the far side half boards. And I was actually wondering if Ryan Smith got a piece of this on its way to the net, but he scrambled. He looked like he was scrambling to celebrate or whatever, but he was actually scrambling to grab the puck from Milan Hejduk, which is how hockey players do it. So you know it's Hayduk's goal, his 300th of his career as well. Shots in the period, the Avalanche had 10. The Flames had 14. But Peter Budaj had a really strong night, and the Avalanche take a 4-1 lead in the third period. The Flames get back within two goals. Rene Bork scores his 16th from Matthew Lombardi and Adrian Acoin at 5:30. Just after Ruslan Soleil's hooking penalty had expired, a wraparound with the backhand, Rene Bork has his 16th of the year. None of those on the power play, which is crazy, but I know he gets plenty of power play time too, but that's how it goes sometimes. The Avalanche iced it. The Avalanche take a 5-2 lead. Ruslan Soleil scores his second from Milan Hejduk and Ryan Smith at 15:27. Milan Hayduk's centering attempt hits the side of the Flames net and kicks out to Soleil at the point, who beats Curtis McElhaney over his glove and went off the far post and into the net. The Avalanche go up 5-2, and then the Avalanche went up 6-2 when Cody McLeod scores his 10th of the year from Brian Wilsey and Ben Gietze at 19:59. The Flames had pretty much stopped skating at this point. Dion Phaneuf, namely. And Cody McLeod was able to pick up the rebound off of Ben Gietze's shot from just inside the blue line, and the Avalanche take a 6-2 win. Curtis McElhaney, who hasn't won a game for the Flames in net yet, he doesn't play very often either. He had 33 saves on 39 shots. Peter Budaj had 39 saves on 41 shots. Good game by him. On the power play, the Avalanche were 2-for-6 with a Ryan Smith shorthanded goal, and the Calgary Flames were 1-for-5. Here's your notables, plenty. Dion Phaneuf, an assist in 5 shots. Jerome McGinley had an assist in 6 shots, but it was also a -3. Mike Camilleri had a goal in 3 shots. Rene Bork had a goal in 4 shots. Matthew Lombardi had an assist in 5 shots for the Flames. And for your Avalanche, Wojtek Wolski, an assist in 5 shots. Milan Hejduk, a goal assist in 5 shots. Ruslan Soleil, a goal assist in 4 block shots. Marek Svatos, a goal in 3 shots. Cody McLeod with a goal in 3 shots as well. Ryan Smith had a goal, 2 assists, and 6 shots. And Brett Clark with 5 block shots during this game. We had some Flames fans sitting next to us that were very classy. Gave a nice round of applause to Milan Hejduk and Ryan Smith when they scored their 300th goal. So there are cool fans out there that actually comes to games in the visiting barn. So that was cool. And Ryan Smith has been outstanding lately. You got to give him a lot of credit. Sorry, he's been strong and really held his weight. This is as good as Ryan Smith has looked in an Avalanche uniform. Let's just put it that way. So hopefully he stays healthy and things keep up. So all right, that's about it. 11 games for you since the last show, but I got you all covered. Thanks again for your patience. I'll be right back. Let's get into the news and notes for episode number 39. Plenty to cover since the last show. Let's go back to December 30th. The Avalanche recalled forward Chris Durno from Lake Erie in the AHL. He had 19 points at this particular time in 31 games for the Monsters this season. He didn't get some action before he was sent down, but you know, his name comes up a little bit later, so we'll cover that in a bit. The December 31st game against the Phoenix Coyotes, the Coyote game, on December 31st was Milan Hejduk's 738th with the Avalanche franchise. This moved him past Paul Stastny's dad, Peter, on the all-time list in the Avalanche Quebec Nordique organization. Hejduk is now fourth all-time in games played behind Michel Goulet with 813, Adam Foote with 839, and our captain Joe Sakic with 1,378 career games. And sorry with the news from the last show. I said that Adam Foote had played 1,000 games with the Quebec Colorado franchise. I was just kidding about that. Those were his career games. So sorry about that. And again, if you need a perfect podcast, go check out another podcast. Anyways, on January 1st, 2009, the Avalanche reassigned Chris Durno to the Lake Erie Monsters. This move was related to Chris Stewart having a virus and him maybe not being able to play against the Phoenix Coyotes on the 31st. There was some speculation that this move had something to do with Brian Wilsey getting closer to coming back, but apparently that was not the case. January 4th against the Minnesota Wild, Brian Wilsey returned to the lineup after missing 13 games because of a knee injury after a Jordan Tutu hit, which is good to see him back in the lineup. Wojciech Wolski also played in his 200th career NHL game on the 4th against the Wild, so congratulations, Wojciech Wolski. January 5th, the Avalanche announced that Adam Foote is out indefinitely with a triceps injury. He left the Wild game during the second period and didn't return. Details to come on injury and the length of absence. They really haven't said anything, but I've got a little more for you here in a little bit. The Avalanche also announced that Ian LaPerriere was at that point day-to-day with a stiff back, and we haven't seen him since. Also on January 5th, the Avalanche recalled Kyle Komiski from the Lake Erie Monsters in the AHL. Komiski at the time of the call-up was second on the Monsters in scoring with 4 goals and 12 assists in 26 games played. And this was his third recall of the season. He played in 3 games for the Avalanche so far this season with no points, I believe. January 6th, the Avalanche announced that they recalled Philippe Dupuis from the Lake Erie Monsters in the AHL. This was his second recall of the season. He's still looking for his first point. I believe he's played in 4 or 5 games for the Avalanche right now, and he hasn't played in any games. He has 5 goals, 10 assists, and is a +7 in 29 games with the Lake Erie Monsters this season. And on January 6th, the Avalanche made it official by placing Adam Foote on the injured reserve retroactive to January 4th. Still no solid details yet. I'll get to that in a second. January 7th, Milan Hayduk was named to the 2008 All-Star team. This is his third appearance. He also played on the All-Star team in 2000 and 2001. The festivities are next weekend, January 24th and 25th in Montreal. Should be fun to watch that. Also on January 7th, the Avalanche announced that Kyle Komiski was named to the Canadian AHL All-Star roster. The 2009 AHL All-Star Classic is January 26th in Worcester, Massachusetts. So congratulations to Kyle Komiski. On January 8th, it was announced that Avs captain Joe Sakic underwent back surgery to repair a herniated disc in his back. The rehab wasn't going quite as well as expected, and it was determined that surgery was the best way to get a complete recovery, said team doctor Andrew Parker. He will be out 10 more weeks past this date, which puts him coming back about mid to late March. So get better, Joe, I guess. January 10th against the Penguins with his assist on Cody McLeod's second period goal. Jordan Leopold recorded his 100th career point. So congratulations to Jordan Leopold as I flip through my notes to get to my other thing. Here we go. January 18th, the Avalanche again recalled forward Chris Durno from Lake Erie. This was the second recall of the season, was last recalled without playing in a game on December 30th, like I mentioned before. Durno was leading the Monsters in scoring with 10 goals and 13 assists in 39 games played. And I noticed his size last night at the game. He's 6'3", 205, and kind of fun to see those big guys out there. And hopefully he can be someone that the Avalanche can use in the future. In order to make room for Durno, the Avalanche placed Ian LaPerriere on the injured reserve retroactive to January 4th due to a bad back. He may not be back until after the All-Star break along with Adam Foote. So looking at January 27th against the Sharks for hopefully Adam Foote and Ian LaPerriere to come back. David Jones, they said, may be back this Wednesday, January 21st against the Kings. His back is getting better. And Philippe Dupuis could be back on the 21st as well. He suffered an injured foot in one of the games before. So I'll cover that in the next show and tell you when they came back and how long they had been out. And then on January 18th, against the Flames, it was a historic period, which was kind of fun to watch. With his second period shorthanded goal, Ryan Smith scored his 300th career NHL goal. That gave him 30 goals with the Avalanche, 5 with the New York Islanders, and 265 with the Edmonton Oilers. So do all that math, and that equals 300. This was his first career goal, also came against the Flames on November 24th, 1995, against Flames goaltender Trevor Kidd. Bet you haven't heard that name for a while. And with his second period power play goal, Milan Hayduk scored his 300th career NHL goal. He became the fourth player in the Avalanche Nordique franchise to score 300 goals. Joe Sakic, 625 goals. Michel Goulet, 456 goals. And Peter Stastny, 380 goals, were the others. Sakic, who has 391 goals with the Avs, and Milan Hayduk are the only two players to score 300 goals in an Avalanche sweater. So congratulations to two of the classiest guys that the Avalanche have ever known, Ryan Smith and Milan Hayduk, on their career numbers. That's pretty awesome. And Chris Durno made his NHL debut against the Flames as well on January 18th. So congratulations to Chris Durno. Welcome to the show. Also, just wanted to throw this in here real quickly. January 19th, the San Jose Sharks recalled a fellow by the name of Claude Lemieux after he played 23 games for their minor league affiliate in Worcester. Congratulations, Claude Lemieux. He did something that many people said couldn't be done, and that's make it back to the NHL. I don't have any idea how old he is, but he's been around forever. So he put his mind to it, said he was going to come back, and he's back. They have had a few injuries, and they figure their best option is Claude Lemieux. So they'll actually be in town. Hopefully he'll be playing when the Avalanche play them. I believe it's a week from this Wednesday. The Sharks, I'll cover the upcoming games. I'll talk more about that. That in the next segment. So that's it for your news and notes since the last show. Thanks again for your patience. And stick around. I'll be back in the third segment with one question for you. From Sporius, from friends of the podcast. And also, you know, stick around. I'll be back. Lord Stanley said Peter Budaj. What about him? Some solid goaltending would do the team some good. I totally agree. And Adam Foot Clan said he had a double take when he read that Tyler Arneson was the number one center. I think we all did. But seems like Volsky and Smith have been doing the stepping up, which is great. Solid goaltending has always been an issue. Hopefully it can get a little bit better. But, you know, I'll have to wait and see. So I was just giving you guys a chance to see who you thought was going to be the person to step up, and, you know, hasn't really turned out very well for the Avalanche. They've been very up and down, as that stat I said early in the podcast noted, but it's all good. So there is no new question of the week. I'm not going to make one just to make one. Not a whole lot to talk about right now. Hopefully we'll have one for the next show. Friends of the podcast, the list is getting a little bit smaller. AvalancheTalk.com. Come join us on the forum and chat. I'm Bernie Bjosakic on there. For anybody that wants to talk Avalanche hockey and is a little scared by the forum on the Avalanche, NHL.com, the Avalanche.NHL.com page, come join us there, AvalancheTalk.com forum. Definitely check out the play of the week on Avalanche.NHL.com. There's one every week. There'll be a playoff-type bracket tournament at the end of the season. You can check that out then, Avalanche.NHL.com. If you need any blogs to look at for the Avalanche, that's where I get most of my news. I get it from the paper around here as well, but mostly from the news, which is or from the blogs, which is great. You can go to my page, avshockeypodcast.podomatic.com, or you can contact me there too. Send me an email. Tell me how I'm doing. Say hi. Tell me where you're listening from. I'd love to hear from you. So that's avshockeypodcast.podomatic.com. You can also email me, avalanchepodcast@comcast.net. I'd love to hear from you. So email me there if you want to get in touch with me. Let me know how things are going. And avalanchedb.com. I want to thank them for all the stats that I have for the jersey numbers for every show. So if you need any historical information, avalanchedb.com. All right, so now your upcoming games. I got a bunch for you. Wednesday, January 21st, the Avalanche will take on the Kings at Pepsi Center. That's a 7 o'clock Mountain Time start on that one. People to watch for the Kings, center Anze Kopitar, 11 goals, 23 assists. Right winger Dustin Brown, who hits everybody. Right winger Alex Frolov and defenseman, young star Drew Doughty for the Kings. You know, a team you definitely can't overlook, but they have definitely struggled. Also, after that will be the All-Star break. The Avalanche will have 5 full days off, which will allow them to get a little healthier. Look for Adam Foote and Ian LaPerriere to come back. Also, a few other guys, so hopefully they'll be back. Check out the All-Star game next weekend in Montreal. And it's always fun to watch. Tuesday, January 27th, the Avalanche will take on the Sharks at Pepsi Center. That's a 7 o'clock Mountain Time start on that. Center Joe Thornton, 12 goals, 41 assists. Center Patrick Marleau, 24 goals, 25 assists. Right winger Devin Setoguchi skating on the line with those guys sometimes. Defenseman Dan Boyle, always tough. And our old friend Claude Lemieux might be in uniform, so definitely check that one out. Goaltender Evgeny Nabokov, always tough in net for the Sharks as well. That's what makes them one of the top teams in the league. So there you go. Thursday, January 29th, the Avalanche will take on the Maple Leafs at Pepsi Center. That'll be a 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time start on that one. Right winger Nikolai Antropov has 13 goals and 22 assists. Center, let's see, Matt Stajan has 10 goals, 22 assists. And left winger Alexei Ponikarovsky, I just like saying that. And defenseman Tomas Kaberle running the point on their power play. That's pretty good. We're having some goaltending issues, so hopefully the Avalanche can take advantage of that. Saturday, January 31st, the Avalanche will play against the Ducks at Pepsi Center. That'll be a 1 o'clock afternoon start. Center Ryan Getzlaff is, let's see, their top scorer, 17 goals, 28 assists. No, maybe that's 38. Yeah, that's 38 assists. That's a lot of points. Right winger Corey Perry has 13 goals and 27 assists. Captain Happy defenseman Chris Pronger will be in action. And goalie J.S. Shiger, always tough for the Ducks. Monday, February 2nd, the Avalanche will play the Flames again, 7:30 p.m. start time on that one. Right winger Jerome Iginla, center Mike Camilleri. Right winger Todd Bertuzzi might be back. He has a hip flexor injury. Supposed to play actually last night and the night before against the Coyotes and Avalanche, but wasn't in uniform. So if you are disappointed you weren't able to boo him then, you can come February 2nd at Pepsi Center and boo him then. Goalie Mikko Kiprusoff, I imagine, will be back in net, so the Avalanche are going to have to work a little bit harder to beat the Flames that time. Thursday, February 5th, the Avalanche will play the Stars at Pepsi Center. That's a 7 o'clock p.m. Mountain start on that one. Center Mike Ribeiro, their top scorer with 8 goals and 28 assists. Brad Richards, centerman, has 11 goals and 25 assists. Louis Erickson, their top goal-getter with 21 goals, and goaltender Marty Turco playing a little bit better lately for the Stars. Saturday, February 7th, the Avalanche will actually hit the road for the first time in a long time, and they'll go back to the Scott Trade Center against the Blues. That'll be a 6:30 Mountain start time on that one. Center Brad Boyes has 20 goals and 16 assists. Left winger Keith Tkachuk will probably be back in the lineup. They're a better team, obviously, with him in the lineup. And defenseman Barrett Jackman, who's pretty gritty, and goaltender Manny Legacy, the ultimate Avalanche killer, will be in net probably for the Blues. So there's your next 7 games for the Avalanche, your upcoming games. So hope the Avalanche can, I don't know, they need a long win streak. They haven't had any of those. They just had short winning and losing streaks throughout the year, and it kind of has led to a tough year and a tough division. So we'll see kind of how it goes. So that's about it. Episode number 39 of the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for everything Avalanche, is over. Thanks again for your patience. I'll be posting shows a little more often now, so stick with me on that. I appreciate you tuning in, and hope to see you next time. So until next time.